Quick, act natural. Welcome back to the Act Natural podcast. I am one of your co-hosts, Anthony Fariga.
And I'm the other one, Nick Thaven.
And today we are joined by two guests named...
I'm Jackson Bivens.
I'm Kyle Nanadovich.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, guys?
What's going on, guys? Appreciate you having me on here.
The other half of the man makes the title.
That is a callback to a previous episode.
The champion.
The champion.
Yeah, the champion.
Current champion, yeah.
So, Kyle, you... We'll start with Jackson. Jackson, you are actor. You are... what's the word? Cosplayer.
Mm-hmm.
You were at the Cleveland Fan Expo recently.
Yes.
Who did you cosplay it?
Once again, I had to do Casey Jones because the original suit I wanted to do didn't fit me right. It was supposed to be the Flash from season 4, but...
Season 4 specifically?
Yeah, the suit, and I was going to get the golden boots from season 8. I was going to modify it, but the suit got there first from China, and I had to send it back. Yeah, it's just I had to do Casey Jones again, mm-hmm. but I did a color scheme I was going to save for Philly, but I'm not going to Philly, unfortunately, because of circumstances, but I pulled off Casey Jones, and I called it Pitch Black Casey Jones.
Nice. Do you, who did you, and you've been cosplaying for the past couple of years, or how long have you been?
The first time I got into cosplay was 4 years ago at the Final Wizard World, and it was a low-budget Casey Jones, because I was supposed to be Kid Flash. It's funny how Flash never works. But that was my first time doing it. It was right before the pandemic started too, you know? So I did Casey Jones again to improve it, and I got him right last year. Then last year at the Fan Expo, I did Sub-Zero, mm-hmm. Kwai Liang, and it was the Tundra skin from MK11, but the mask was from MK9, and the headband was from the story mode MK11, where he was a Grandmaster, because I couldn't find nobody to give me the Iascar, you know, makeup.
Yeah.
So that's so far what I've done, but I got others in the works at the moment.
Sick. And you've been doing a lot of local acting stuff recently as well. I'm curious, how have you done any like theater or short or film related things that necessitated costuming even close to the level of that of stuff you've been doing cosplaying for?
As far as like related to cosplay stuff, like, you know, wardrobe wise, mm-hmm. no, because on acting is just, you know, playing the character I'm supposed to be. Theater wise, actually my first acting credit, technically, it was a religious play I did at Cleveland State.
Yeah.
12 years ago called Reality. I was in two different skits. The first one, I'm in a funeral and we're on stage pretending I'm crying, covering my eyes. I put a rose down in front of the tombstone and I go off stage, they had to change into the next skit where I'm playing the avatar of greed. Basically, I'm dressed like a thug, wearing baggy jeans, hoodie, do-rag on, and I'm wanting to cash out.
Why is that greed?
Because she said, like, I'm throwing money out to the young lady who's, like, misguided in life. So I represented greed because it's all about the money. That's what it was. Okay. So that's what I was, well, that's what I was doing. It was pretty fun.
Huh. Mm-hmm. Nice. Do you still do theater?
No, I haven't done theater yet the way I want to, because circumstances. I was in college at the time at Cleveland mm-hmm. State, then I left at one point. So I've been trying to like just move around with what I can get, basically. So short films and all that, and a music video recently. Yeah. That's what I've been focused on lately.
I want to ask really quickly, has acting made you a better cosplayer?
In a way. That's a good question. I never gotten that. In a way, I would say it's helped me get into character better.
Yeah.
And like I told Kyle, like I told other castmates from the Mammoth Society, originality and imagination combined can take you so far. Mm-hmm. You know, you just need that opportunity to display it, you know?
Yeah.
So that's a good question.
And then you kind of just mentioned there a second ago that you were in a music video, and I have your resume pulled up called Grateful.
Yes, yes, yes.
Talk about it.
Yes, of course. Shout out to my homie, my friend, Marcus Storm, who is the artist of the song, and it's his music video, but he announced on Sip and Chill, his podcast on Instagram Live, which Kyle was on recently on St. Patrick's Day, along with Steven.
Mm-hmm.
My interview...
Steve Livingston.
Yeah.
Or Steven Knight, sorry.
Yeah, Steven Knight, yes, sorry, Steven Knight.
Not Steve Livingston.
Steven no, with a PH, not Steven with a V.
Yeah, back in January... I believe I did the interview. Yeah, because right after I wrapped that one project. Yeah, he told me, he announced to people off rip I was going to star in it. at first, he didn't do it that way before the interview. But then he's caught me off guard. If you watch the clip, I got caught off guard a little bit. So I was honored to do it. And I worked with another talented co-star by the name of April, who's also a singer. And that was pretty fun to do. And I was just there last night at the venue where we filmed because we had a little event he was doing.
Huh.
And so like we kind of have like our own little team in a way. And I got to eat for free. So it was cool.
Hell yeah. In Man Makes a Title, you have a lot of like fake sweat. I remember because me and Anthony actually. So Kyle is the director and writer of Man Makes a Title. Mm-hmm. Jackson is the one of the leads in Man Makes a Title. And me and Anthony were the sound crew. So this is kind of a Man Makes the Title themed episode in a lot of ways.
A little bit, yeah.
Part two.
Part two, yeah, because we had Kurt and Stephen Knight. Yeah,
that was a great interview.
Thank you. What was the fake sweat that you guys used for that?
So the fake sweat was first we sprayed baby oil on them, and then we sprayed them with water to kind of get it to bead up better so it doesn't just soak into the skin.
Uh-huh.
And we had to do that a lot on both days 2 and 3 because the first day was a scene where they're working out. It's Jackson and Steven. Their characters are Christian and Adam. They're on the punching bag just training. Jackson's character, Christian, he's getting ready for his in-ring return after being out with a knee injury. And it's just, you can't, if we didn't have sweat on them, you could tell that they're like not actually doing anything. So yeah. And then second day, which was a locker room scene, took place after a match. Steven and then another actor in the movie, Trevor, for hours, we were just spraying them down with oil and water because it's supposed to be like minutes after the match.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It worked.
That it mimics a title is getting like decent, like it's popping off on YouTube a little bit.
Yeah, it has 6.6K views. It hasn't really gotten many more views in like the past month and a half, but it had a good run.
That's especially for a Kent State film. That's pretty good.
Or just any short film.
True.
Yeah.
YouTube's not a place for short films. So
yeah, YouTube algorithms are weird. You know, they're so random. Certain months.
Yeah.
Jinx.
So were you music video?
Mm-hmm.
You were because I haven't seen the music video. Did you sing in it? Were you acting in it? What was the process for that like?
I just played myself and
Jackson Bivens.
Yes. And what it was is it was kinda like a last minute setup. Originally we were supposed to do it at a church where I was gonna be a guy down on his luck and whatever character name he gave us. But the artist, Marcus Storm, he had some other changes in mind and he got the venue. It wasn't a church. So he set the stage up. If you see the video, once you see it, when it's ready, of course. Mm-hmm. All you got is a teaser from my IG post.
Yeah.
That's all I could do.
Mm-hmm.
So, but shout out to Space 65 again. We did a Sip and Chill special setup on the stage. And me and the other actress named April, forgive me for not remember her last name, but she's a dope artist nonetheless. We just sat there like we'd be interviewed about our careers and whatnot. And we just went off that way. Then it cuts to him just doing his thing on stage. And I got to tell you, he was in his bag. Marcus Storm is a star. And once you guys see it, you'll see the passion pouring out of him, man. Cleveland rappers, you know, is a different breed. And mm-hmm. I say that because I'm from Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm.
Down there, we're all about battle rapping. Up here, these Cleveland artists, they got all this ambition, you know, and it's a beautiful thing to see. And I think Ohio breeds those type of artists besides athletes. So it was an honor to do that video.
That's so cool. Did he like actually perform during the recording, or was it all like lip sync?
It was lip sync because the song came out last summer.
Mm-hmm.
But he's mouthing it a little bit.
Yeah.
But he's still singing into the camera to match the words and the emotion. And my friend, who was a director, shout out to Roman Mascheroni, Cleveland State friend, just like Marcus Storm. That's where I met him originally.
Mm-hmm.
And he did a good job because he filmed his videos in college. But this is the first time I get to work with them. With like two of my buddies.
Yeah.
So it was it's kind of like how Josh Brolin explained working with Don Cheadle and Mark Ruffalo on Endgame in that one scene where he lost his lines. It was kind of like that feel because I'm working with two of my friends.
Yeah.
And they're great at what they do. So me being introduced to this was like a whole different ball game.
Did you have like on the like the set of your music video, did you have like any like direction for like what to do? Like what's like the process of how to act for a music video, I guess, if you will?
Well, this is my first one. So for this one, it was a lot easier because I'm working with my friends and stuff.
Yeah.
But if I do get another one and it's with somebody I don't know, that's where it'll probably be a test for me. Because depending on who I'm playing, how we're doing it, what we're filming, the ideas, whatnot. Because music videos can be anything,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
Look up Missy Elliott, Busta Rhymes videos from the 90s. You see what I'm saying? But for me, it was really just being comfortable what we were doing. Not being ready, being camera ready.
Yeah.
And helping April to be ready because she was so nervous. But I'm just like, hey, you see how chill I am, right? She's like, yeah, you chill. How so? I'm like, because I smoked before this. But no, besides that though, just being ready for yeah. whatever, mm-hmm. you know?
Mm-hmm. Do you, besides music videos, I'm curious, mm-hmm. What are some other recent projects you've been, that maybe aren't even out yet?
Now this is the fun part.
Yeah.
Gentlemen. So, in January, I wrapped up my final scenes on a movie called Cravo, Blending In. Shout out to Brandon Grimes, who's the writer, director, and the lead star and martial artist. I sent Kyle his some of his work, and he's pretty good.
Dang.
It's an action thriller movie where he's played like a vigilante named Cravo. I play a high school bully named Kobe, who is 2 years held back in high school.
Okay.
And you want to talk about Gotham City in high school? This is it. And I would say the Man Makes the Title is my most proud project, but this is the most fun I have on a project yeah. because the fight scenes involved. And I'm playing a bully. So you kind of can see where I'm going as far as like it feels liberating
yeah.
to play this character. And it's almost finished because he told me the other day. So once it comes out, I can't wait to share it with you guys.
Mm.
Did you have to do like any stunts for that film?
Stunt-ish, kind of. One thing I had to do, I did get shoved into the lockers, you know, really shoved into the lockers.
Yeah.
But we made sure we avoided the turn locks yeah. on the thing. That's how Cleveland State have it on their campus, mm-hmm. you know. And we just make sure I didn't hit that. And mm-hmm. it would just focus on just my thoracic area, not my neck. And I just go at a certain angle. But we got the sound, made it look real. And I had to pretend I was drunk in that scene, which was so fun to do. So, I can't wait for you guys to see it. I'll tell you, it's going to be so much fun.
Dude.
It was so much fun doing
that. I'm excited.
That's exciting. For, oh man, the, do you watch a lot of do you watch yourself back on projects after you've
I'll answer this question too when
mm-hmm.
sorry
no mm-hmm. please go ahead
go for it
okay so that's my cue actually no I don't I learned from Johnny Depp that it's so pretentious to do that
yeah
and it's like you kind of fool yourself and like I told Kyle when he casted me you know we all have an ego as humans, but yeah. I choose not to be egotistical about what I do. Because, like, I'm just happy I get to do this, and I enjoy it,
mm-hmm.
you know? And it's not about the money. It's about the experience. So all the experiences I'm getting and the stories I'm telling with it, like, now, it's refreshing, you know? So I would say that so far, I like what I'm doing so far. And just keeping grinding, you know?
Yeah.
All right. And then, so do I watch my stuff back? I don't like watching my projects back.
I hate watching my stuff back.
After Hours was one I could watch a couple of times just because it was a more, it was a comedy project.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, as bad as it sounds, it wasn't one I took super seriously because I didn't know how to take it seriously.
Got you.
Mm. Man Makes the Title, as proud of myself as I am for that, because I wrote it, directed it, produced it, went through hell and back with that
yeah.
project.
Yeah.
I can't watch it again because mm-hmm. I was there for the entire thing and just kind of broke myself down to a point I've never been to with that project. It's like, I'm proud of it. I can't do any more with that though.
What about stuff that you actually acted in, I guess, if you will, quote unquote?
The only stuff I've really acted in was on The Agenda.
Yeah.
And I watch, I did a series of skits called Joe Finch. I used to watch those back all the time just because it was just a fun, lighthearted thing that I took way too seriously at some points. And then, yeah, the Joe Finch series, I watch back sometimes. And then there's two other skits I have. One is I Have a Guy for That, where it's basically I kind of play like a mobbish type dude where I was one of the hosts of The Agenda, and the whole bit was I have a guy for everything. So if I want cookies, I have a guy for that. If someone wants to write a skit better than me, I have a guy that can kill them off. I watched that one back, and then
I like the guy who goes to the bathroom for you.
Yes, Eric.
Wow.
I was doing so that part of the bit is I'm busy doing something. I was scrolling on my phone, and whole thing is I have to use the bathroom, but I don't want to get up and do it because I'm so busy looking at social media. So I'm going, hey, Eric, go use the bathroom for me. So
that sounds like a typical Hollywood director.
Yeah. And then the other bit I watch back just because I'm kind of impressed with how well I improvised it is my Morbius review because I had no script. Because I wasn't supposed to go on for as long as it did, but I did like a 3-minute video out of it. Yeah.
Have you seen Morbius?
Still haven't.
Yeah, I have not.
I haven't either.
I've not seen Morbius.
Don't even mention Madam Web.
Haven't seen that either.
I saw that one.
Oh no.
I feel for you, dude.
But Kyle, you kind of have both experience of so working. You mainly work like behind the scenes stuff, like director, writer, producer. Have you produced stuff?
Yeah, he produced
Man Makes a Title. Okay. And I'm also working on some more stuff I want to produce. Okay.
Mm-hmm. But then also a bit of actually like on screen, so okay, like The Agenda. And then you said you said you were an extra on some stuff too?
A couple student films, yeah. Mm-hmm. There's one, I don't know how much I can talk about it, but there's my one friend's project, Olivia, on Bunkers. She casted me in a role for that, which I don't want to talk about it too much because I don't want to spoil that joke. But
people love that gag. Yeah. Everyone who sees it.
Yeah, I have no lines, but I'm in I'm in a couple shots.
You are a visual gag.
Nice.
But do your experiences on either side kind of like help influence your decisions when you are in like these in your roles, I guess, if you will? I don't like if you're an extra, like knowing like how the behind the scenes stuff works, like does that influence how you acted? And then like and then being, I guess, an actor, has that influenced you when you make your films?
So working on crew has helped with my patience whenever I'm being an actor, because anyone who's been on set knows that there are some things that can just take so long to shoot.
Yeah.
And being on crew, knowing the amount of work that you have to do to set up each shot and get it just right, I don't get as irritated as I don't want to say a regular person, but a regular person would be, as someone who's never been on set or on screen, they might be like, wow, this is taking so long. And I don't have that because I've worked on behind the camera and in front of the camera. So it's build up my patience and know what to expect.
I'm curious, Jackson, you went from theater to screen. What was the biggest surprise as an actor in that transition?
Well, if I may, can I go down the timeline?
Go for it.
All right, cool. So I didn't do another project after Reality, the religious play I did back in 2012. I didn't do anything else till like 2017 because, you know, college, life, et cetera. So when I did, excuse me. When I did One Day at a Time, my first short film, which is on YouTube, and it's a Cleveland State student film. Shout out to Robert. Sorry, my bad. Just had coffee. Shout out to the director, Rob, who put that together because that was fun to do. So when I did that, I took a little break. I didn't do anything until I did. I was an extra as a wedding attendant on the set of Two Sides, this web series on Snapchat.
Apparently. On Snapchat?
Believe it or not, Snapchat has a production company called Snap Originals.
Really?
And, yeah. And shout out to Angela Boehm, casting agency, because that was my first paid acting gig.
Whoa.
So when I did that, we shot that in Shaker on the east side of Cleveland, for those who don't know. And I played a wedding attendant. I was wearing a pink dress shirt, black slacks, and dress shoes. And I was dancing in the background during our wedding reception episode. I was dancing with this no offense when I say this, but this very attractive middle-aged Asian woman, right? So I was having fun with that.
Mm-hmm.
But just like Kyle said, long time filming days, right? That was my first taste of a long filming session. And it was 2020. Mask, eye shields on, sitting there for several hours in the front yard of a house in Shaker. And then several hours later, we film our 1-2 scenes that take like 20 minutes, right? Yeah. So that's why I learned, like, okay, that's how this works. So that was the start. And then what did I do after that? I did Magnum Man, a short film on YouTube. Yep, Magnum Man, short film on YouTube. And that's the remake, because there's an original version somewhere. And in that one, that was a fun project to do, right? I let you guys watch that, and you let me know how you feel, because I want to give it away. Shout out to Vera Howard, director of that one.
Okay.
The biggest one that I wanted to share with you guys is Shooting Stars. That is the movie about LeBron James's high school years that was filmed in Cleveland.
Yeah. And
Angela Baum, once again, got me into that. And I'm sorry, I don't want to go too long on this.
No, you're fine.
I would love to tell the story how I got casted into that one.
Tell a story.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I was just making sure. All right, so I'm an event security officer at Rocky Mortgage Fieldhouse, right? Okay. Cleveland Cavaliers, Cleveland Monsters. I'm working Tuesday for game 5. So that's my 9-to-5. I never forget it. It's like the end of April 2022, and I'm at work, working like a banquet or so. My friend, shout out to my friend Sherry Fatu, diehard LeBron fan, supporter, all that. She texts me, goes, "Hey, Jax, are you doing LeBron James's movie they're filming in Cleveland?" I'm like, "What movie? Space Jam 3? And she's like, "No." Send me the link about Shooting Stars. I vaguely heard about it, right? But I remember the book, and that's the name of the AAU team they had when LeBron was a kid, right? Which I saw in more of the game documentary back in the day. So I read down, I scroll down, I see Angela Moore casting agency. I'm like, I should have known. Emailed her ASAP. And I was like, "Hey, I'm interested. I heard through the grapevine. I'm interested. Whatever you can give me, I'm down." She's like, "Okay, I'll let you know." Then the next day, she said, like, "Okay, I got you playing like a teacher," right? Mind you, I was 30 at the time. I'm 32. I don't look my age.
Yeah.
I had to shave off my little amount of facial hair I can barely grow. So it looks me look real younger. And I get paired up with a 16-year-old student who I'm supposed to play her father, apparently, in this. But I'm as an extra, right?
Yeah.
This is very detailed. And I meet the girl's father, and he's like, "You're 30? I'm like, "Yeah, I was 14 when your daughter was born." I'm like, "I had no business going around having sex," right? Just to make that joke. So on that set, that was my real acting experience. So after the first day of filming, if you go to my post, you see the scene where I'm in the background behind Wood Harris. That was the first day on set. We shot that at Case. And it was the game where LeBron faced Melo for the first time in 02 in high school and lost. They got blown out because Bron went to party the night before. Not to spoil the movie, but if you know the story of his team in high school years, that is a known fact about that part of that game. So we're filming that. I'm in the background. In between takes, Caleb McLaughlin from Stranger Things, who plays Lucas.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he plays the point guard, Lil Drew, LeBron's high school point guard. He gets a dunk off in between takes. He's only 5'8". I'm 5'10". And this is impressive to see a little man get up like that. He gets it off, and I'm the only one who sees it. And of course, I can have my phone now. We're on set, right? But he sees it. He's like, "All right, cool." He daps me up and everything, right? So then later that day, we're on lunch break, and Angela's associates comes up to me and goes, "Hey, are you available tomorrow?" "Yes." He was like, "Okay, we're going to be at the old South High School, right? Over in, I think, Slavic Village, I believe." I'm not from Cleveland, so yeah. I'm still trying to get the areas down correctly.
You're good.
So I go there the next morning. We shoot the scene where it's senior night, and I'm playing a teacher again, paired up with the young lady. We're in the balcony, right? We shoot. Then we go back to Holdings, where we keep our stuff at and stuff. I'm sitting there. I have my headphones on, you know, listen to Linkin Park, just like Kyle and I did on the way here, because we love Linkin Park. Yep. So I'm just in there chilling. You know, to my left, I'm in the middle of an aisle, an auditorium. To my left, two of her associates come down. They go, "Jackson." I'm like, "Yes." It was like, "Hey, how tall are you?" 5'10". They knew I play basketball, and I shoot left-handed. Caleb McLaughlin happened to be left-handed, right?
Uh-huh.
And he's like, "Well, he plays basketball. He shoots left-handed. He's only 2 inches taller." "Yeah, he's fine. Keep going with us." I'm like, Yeah, sure. Not thinking nothing of it.
Uh-huh.
We come around the check-in table and they go, so Lil Drew's stand-in had to get sent home because he's allergic to the mold that's in this building. South High School. Been closed for years. He got black mold.
Huh. Ooh, gross.
Right. And we still got to wear masks and stuff on set still, right? But I got a strong immune system. I take care of myself. I'm good. He's like, would you like to be a stand-in? I'm like, who's playing him again? Caleb McLaughlin? I'm like, Lucas from Stranger Things? He's like, yeah. I'm like, hell yeah, I can do this. Let's do this. So I go to wardrobe. They give me what I need to get. They write a tag on me, says, Lil Drew stand-in, Jax, right? Because Jackson don't fit. So they put Jax for short. Caleb remember me from the day before. I get there, and he's like, he sees my thing. He daps me up. He's like, oh, you made it, homie. You made it. I'm like, appreciate you, fam. So
that's awesome.
So I get to experience that. I mean, from craft services, I'm meeting director Chris Robinson, director of the movie ATL, New Edition Story, and all that. You know, and I meet Wood Harris finally. And Wood Harris, shout out to the OG. We're on set, right? Mind you, I played basketball growing up. The long day of filming, the 4 days I was on set as a stand-in, we're in the gym filming different high school games.
Yeah.
For me, for some stand-ins, not going to say their names out of respect, but one of them was being a diva, right? Because you got to realize this is the long game. This is patience, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been disciplined on this growing up because my parents taught me this. So, and on top of that, we're in the gym. I got a basketball in my hand. I'm at home. I'm just chilling. So I learned firsthand, as a stand-in, you got to be ready. Because when your moment come and you ain't there, oh, you're... Excuse my language, sorry.
Yeah, it's okay.
That's what Caleb told me.
Yeah.
Right? I'm just shouting out Caleb McLaughlin here. So that's what he told me. So that's where I realized, like, okay, all right, cool. And I got paid for that. That was probably my biggest payday as a stand-in.
Yeah.
Right? So that was pretty cool to do. Then after that, I didn't get nothing because I was with Doherty at the time. Shout out to them, but I'm not with them anymore. I didn't get anything. Then, like, I had my surgery on my ankle, old injury and stuff. I had backstage. I didn't get nothing. So many submissions, didn't get nothing. October, I get one notification. Invite for an audition for The Man Makes the Title by Kyle. And I'm like, huh. Look it up. I'm like, for a wrestler, I could do this. Like, I'm a big fan. I could play a wrestler. So do the audition. My girlfriend helped me set up. Do it in one take. And I thought I messed up because I said The Man Who Makes the Title. I thought I messed up, but Kyle said he liked it. Did a Zoom meeting like a week later, I think.
Later that weekend.
Yeah, later that weekend. He showed me like the gear he was buying. I still have it in my closet, by the way.
Good.
Actually, the shoes are in my locker at work. I wear those as work shoes because it's good on, it's good for the floor. So I got casted in that. And just like I said on Sip and Chill, the last two interviews I did, one with him and Steven, I was like, this is where I'm starting to progress a little bit, because to get casted on something through backstage from a young man who's going after his craft at Kent State, he wanted me to play this role, and that's why I say it's the most proud project I'm most proud about. So like, it just shows my progression slowly a little bit.
Yeah.
So like, just those two alone were cool. And then Quavo was just fun to film, and I can't wait for that to come out because I want to see how he putting all this together himself. The director, Brendan Grimes, and the music video was just like a final touch. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So far, I'm going at a pretty steady pace, you know, and I feel like I'm doing okay. You know, there's room to grow, but I'm 32. If I was 22, I'd probably be like, nah, I need to make some money, whatever. Now it's like, it's the experience that I'm chasing, and I'm liking this experience so far.
Yeah. No, that's super exciting. You got a real array of experiences under your belt at this point. Do you ever think about one day if someone else is your stand-in?
If I make it to that level where I need a stand-in, then I think I'm doing something right. And I'm waiting for that moment to happen, actually. Because to have a stand-in, you got to be the main actor. If I make it to the point where I'm the main actor, SAG, qualify and all that stuff, I got no complaints. Like I said, we all have egos. I choose not to get egotistical. I just be like, cool, let's do this. You know?
Yeah. Stand-ins are super important, man.
Man, people don't understand that about acting. Like, it's not just get on camera and you say stuff.
Yeah.
There's a method to this madness. It ain't easy. It was not. Trust me. There were times on set where I'm like, okay. And during breaks, I could be on my phone, but we just got to hide it on camera because we're in the bleachers. We're right underneath the bleachers. Phones are disappearing. So it was easy for me to adjust to. But, Yeah, no, that's where I learned firsthand on the two gigs that got me paid. That, like, oh, this is what this is going to be like. It's long days of filming.
Yeah, no, acting is really, really, really difficult.
Mm-hmm. Do you use a specific, like, acting method, or like what, like, how do you get into a character?
I like that question. Appreciate that. Not many people ask me that enough. So I did one session that I got to attend for free in Cleveland Heights at the Hood School of Acting, mm-hmm. by Jessica Hood.
Yeah,
because another friend, Robert Bray, who's the owner of Longhouse Studio on the east side of Cleveland. He's a veteran actor himself. And he's been guiding me a little bit, along with a few others from Doherty. Like, my girlfriend's stepdad is a thespian. He's actually doing what's it called? Is it Amadeus? I think. Yeah, he's doing Amadeus at Playhouse Square. Yep. I think Sunday is the last show, actually.
Oh, cool.
He's with Doherty, and I have a veteran actor named Leilani Barrett, who's a voice actor from Cleveland, goes to LA for work, all types of stuff. Voice acting is what I really want to get into.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that a little later, of course. They just been giving me keys and tips that I need to learn. So as where I'm at in my life, maturity wise, mm-hmm. I would say 30 is your decade of wisdom. Mm-hmm. So everything I learned from my 20s, everything I sponged up, I try to put my own technique into it, but the key ingredient to it, I got from Hood School of Acting, the Meisner technique.
Okay.
Meisner, just repetition, and my high school acting coach, teacher, taught me a tip where you say your lines. He's like, okay, stick your tongue out. Say your lines again. Okay, I did that, right? Then I do it back. It's more crisp and more like camera ready. You're more prepared. It's like you're keeping your tools sharp, basically. So that's the type of tip I use.
Huh. Tongue tip.
Pretty much. You could call it that, yeah. That's a good name for it, actually.
Do you at Hood School of Acting? Do you guys do you go through like typecasting type things?
No. Well, again, I only went there for one session, but that whole day I was there for like almost 3 hours. I sponged up a lot, mm-hmm. and a lot of different actors there were doing all types of different stuff: improv, ad libs. You know, just all types. You remember that show Victorious?
Yeah.
How they got to improv and all that? That's basically what it was. But Seb, of course, this is real, not Nickelodeon stuff. You know,
yeah,
like this is real, the real deal.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
cussing. They're about to really fight. I actually thought they was about to fight for real. That's how, like, method they were. But it was it was so awesome to see. So that kind of inspired me to like, all right, I need to step my game up. Okay, so like that's where I kind of always go back to when it's like, okay, need to prepare myself. All right, you know. So I'm just always trying to keep my mind sharp.
Mm-hmm. I have a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Do you think typecasting is a bad thing?
I feel like in the beginning of someone's career, if you get typecasted too much, it could kind of set too much of a standard and not allow for you to branch out and experiment mm-hmm. with and challenge yourself. I think it can break a career, but it's, I feel Jonah Hill is someone who's been able to kind of get out of that with roles like,
that's a good example.
Wolf of Wall Street. He does play a more comedic character, but it's also a lot more serious than his roles in like 21 Jump Street and
Superbad
and This Is the End and others that he did.
Okay.
Forgetting Sarah Marshall when he was at that resort.
I haven't seen that one.
Oh, you never seen that one?
Nope.
That's a good movie. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good movie. My bad. To answer the question, same thing he just said. Typecasting is bad. I'm sorry. Yeah, I got to say it. It is. Especially for physical acting. Mm-hmm. You're doing voice acting, that's different.
Yeah.
But physical acting, hate to play the race card with you fellas, but for those who's listening, don't know who I am, I'm African North American, right?
Yeah.
As an African descent actor, I say African, I don't say black. I like to say African, mm-hmm. emphasize where we're from. But in that regards, it's important to not get typecast. The reason why I say that, because Denzel Washington, the OG himself, said it. The best thing I learned how to do in this business is how to say no to some stuff. Because after he did Malcolm X, they wanted him to play all types of historical African American figures. Mm-hmm. But he's like, no, because I'm not trying to be typecast in that regard.
Yeah.
Right. So what did he do? He diversified, he expanded, showed his range, right? And like you can be like that as an actor. But the people who don't understand about acting, don't understand about the story, they just want to see, you know, African talent on screen, they tend to get typecast and some stuff. You know, there's some production companies that glorify themselves on that. And I'm not going to say no names because maybe I may get a gig with them one day and I ain't trying to ruin it.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, typecasting is bad overall, especially as an actor. If you just always do it, it's like, if you're comfortable with that, go knock yourself out. But don't get mad if you're feeling stagnant.
Got you.
So that's how I feel about it.
Mm.
Do you feel like you've been typecasted?
Nah. Nah, I've had a variety of different projects so far. You know, I've only played like one gangster-like character, and that was Magnum Man. But again, that was more of a comedy base. You guys see that movie? You can email me how you feel about it. You know, because people need to see that for themselves to tell me how they feel about it.
Is there a specific like role, or maybe not even role, but like genre of like character you would want to play eventually?
Oh man, there's a bunch. Voice acting is one of them, but it could be comedic, it could be serious, dramatic. Honestly, I'm open to any genre.
Mm-hmm.
All I care about is the story being told and the character they want me to play. And I would see like, okay, this character's not similar to what I've done before. And it's like, how can I be similar to similar characters they've seen before? Like if I play a gangster character who's similar to Wesley Snipes in New Jack City, like Nino Brown, it's like, okay, how can I make this my original thing? Right. So when I did Cuervo and I got to play a bully, the inspiration came from, again, shout out to Will Harris, his character from Above the Rim, where he's like, I'm a soldier, drive this car, like that type of guy. I'm dressed like him, but the performance aspect is based on Tupac Shakur in Juice, one of my favorite movies as a kid.
Oh.
And how he just wanted to be that tough guy in Harlem.
Uh-huh.
Right. Not drugs, not money, just want to have that respect. That's what Juice is the name for. It's respect. When he gets that gun in his hand, he's unstoppable, right? Because there's that sense of pride he has with that. So when I played Kobe, I kind of took the inspiration, but I made it my own way. I got to ad lib. I got to be funny too at the same time because I want to show off some humor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I ain't a fighter in this movie, but let me show off some humor. Let me stand out. And so I try to think of ways where I'm not being repetitive. Far as like roles go,
cool.
I would say that.
Do you think costuming helps with the performance?
Yeah. Going back to his question earlier, yeah, it does, because sometimes you need that for the character. You know, like if I need to play a character that's bald, shave off my facial hair, shave off my eyebrows. At that point, hopefully, I'm getting paid to do this. First off, and if it's a big role and it makes sense for the story, I'll go for it. You know, I look at actors who take that risk and it pays off for them, like. One actor who don't get enough credit, James McAvoy.
Mm.
Bro, his range is unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know, that new movie he got coming out where it says Speak No Evil or something like that, looks crazy, bro. It looks real crazy.
It's always the British actors.
Different breed. Very different breed.
James McAvoy really got to show off his range with Split. Where he had to play like 24 different characters, pretty much.
Oh, and, yes.
Yes.
And when you have a role like that, or what Oscar Isaac did in Moon Knight, where he's playing one character that's actually more like three, you really get to see, like, can they push themselves and what they're really capable of doing.
Yep. That's similar to, like, comedians who will play these side characters like Martin Lawrence and Martin, where he did like Mama Payne and all those other characters and stuff. It does tax on you mentally a little bit, you know, but the fact that they can just pull that off amazingly, like Mike Myers, Austin Powers, right? He's from SNL originally, right? So he has that craftsmanship. Then you look at Eddie Murphy, Nutty Professor and Dr. Doolittle, like amazing work, you know. It's just, it is taxing on the mind, but you see where they're at now in life, how they're at peace with themselves. It's how you got to take care of yourself and who you surround yourself by. And there's some actors who learn the hard way that you got to have good company. And that plays a role too. But again, costuming can play a role because it goes with makeup and go with the character, with the story.
Yeah, the costuming, I think, sometimes I act in sketch comedy sometimes, and it's not until I put on, like, I played a goofy scientist like last week, and it was hard to figure out like how that character was gonna sound until I put on the lab coat and goggles, and then it all really came together. But that when you're doing voice acting, you don't have that. It's just you and the microphone.
Mm-hmm.
And have you done voice acting either to, like, for a project or just kind of like on your own? Or?
When I had backstage, I did do a submission for this one project this guy was trying to cast me in, where he wanted me to voice a teenager or a teacher. But this was like months before Kyle sent me something, and I never really heard back from the guy. But I don't have backstage anymore, because after I got casted, it ended, and I didn't have $200 for a whole year subscription. So I was like, nah, never mind. I think I'm good. You know, I got one out of one production out of this. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was trying to. I'm in the midst of putting out some more voice acting talent to put on my casting network to show my range, but yeah. I just got my new earbuds. I got my new mic, which I use on St. Patrick's Day. And now I just need to find the right time and the right moment to do all this out, because in my apartment where I live in Old Brooklyn in Cleveland, I need to be in my closet to do this, because I need the most isolated like sound
yeah.
areas.
Yeah.
And that's the only way I can do it. But now that it's summer outside, if I got the windows open, I hear like some birds chirping, I'm like, damn it. You know? So I'm prepping myself mentally for it, because voice acting is a different animal.
It is, yeah. I worked with voice acting recording yesterday. It was it's just a totally different ballpark than mm-hmm. than screen acting, because it doesn't take as much time either. Like, you're not there, so the energy can be a little more conserved and yeah. and come out. And and like you said, it's a lot more like, because it's just the voice, so you can play a lot more characters. You can mm-hmm. you can get cast for a larger variety of things.
Oh yeah.
I'm curious, because Kyle, we do film, we do screen acting.
Yes.
Have you ever considered doing, like, working with animators, doing an animation or anything like that, or like other than just live action screen stuff?
I did work on an animation once before. I helped paint some stuff for Ben Sloan's Sprocket.
Oh yeah.
Nice.
I helped paint part of the set for that, and then afterwards I did nothing else with animation. I would like to learn how to write some animation stuff, but I know it's also like from what I've read from the Into the Spider-Verse and Across the Spider-Verse scripts, mm-hmm. it's also a very different screenplay format and structure that I need to learn how to do, cuz I'm not really yeah. too familiar in the world of animation. So.
And that animation nowadays is hard to come by, because you usually get CGI. But Into the Spider-Verse, man, they brought back the classic traditional animation, yeah. but stylized it in a way we've never seen before. Mm-hmm. So that's what makes it unique. You know, Sony is cooking with this one.
And a little bit also with Puss in Boots: The Last Wish, too.
I have not seen it. I heard it was so good.
It's really good.
I got to check it out, because I love the first one.
I just realized I did do voice acting. For the agenda, Drew's Clues, which was a Blue's Clues parody. I played.
I remember you told me that.
I played the mailbox. So I played. I went mail time, mail time, mail time, mail time.
Nice.
And then I also played Drew, who was the parody of Blue, and like I did this like Batman voice thing, kind of.
Oh, that's actually yeah. pretty cool. Yeah. That was good.
Yeah. Drew's Clues is a
twisted bit.
Shout out Michael Beck.
Yeah, that's a.
You gotta have fun with it.
Oh, mm-hmm. It was so much fun.
Oh yeah, that's good.
All right. Can I ask you guys a fun question?
Of course.
Ask away.
No.
Has acting made you a better liar?
I like that question. I like that one. Want me to go first, or you?
Yeah, you go first.
Okay. Actor, honestly, yes, because I actually have a story I recently used.
Oh, okay. If you're willing to share it,
I think I told Kyle this, but if not, here it goes. So, because I can't get in trouble for it now, it's too late. So. Again, I work security mm-hmm. at my job, Cavs Arena and stuff. So when when I saw that we had we were getting the women's Final Four, March yeah. Madness, at our job,
mm-hmm.
and it was the same weekend as WrestleMania, and Kyle and I are big wrestling fans. This is WrestleMania 40 in Philly. I'm not missing this. Shout out to my friend Roman Mascheroni again.
Yep.
Him and his girlfriend, Liz, they have watch parties at their house, right? And I tried to get Kyle to go, but it was too many people. And, you know, and last minute things didn't work out, but I stayed over there. So I didn't want to miss this. So I had to come up with a lie at work like 2 weeks prior. I'm like, okay, I got to think of something. I'm like, hold on. I just said goodbye to my grandpa earlier this month who passed away. Rest his soul, mm-hmm. you know. Yeah. I'm like, they know that. They know my brother's dead from 6 years ago. However, I can come up and say there's a new case involved with him involved in it back in Cincy, my hometown.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, if I sell it, it could work. And they understand, because I don't ever call off work. I don't have a history of calling off
yeah.
work. You know, I show up on time, do my job, I bounce, just like I used to do in school. I never was a troublemaker. I stay away from trouble. Mm-hmm. So I knew I can probably pull it off.
Yeah.
So I go to the restroom and I look in the mirror. I go, all right, you got this. Okay. Make it good. So I go downstairs. I go, hey guys, I got something to tell you. I'm so sorry to bring this up if you guys are busy right now. What is it? It was like, so my mom just called me. And there is some new details going on in my brother's old case that I thought was solved, but apparently it's not, even though he's been dead for the past 6 years. They was like, what is it? I'm like, can't talk about it, but my mom wants me to come down there, meet with the lawyer and the judge in a discreet location. Hey, I'm like, Hamilton County Court. I mean, Cincinnati, mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah.
I just threw that out there because they're not aware of this. And they was like, oh, man, that sucks. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, and I just said goodbye to my grandpa too, man. Now I got to take another trip out of town. And miss work. They're like, what day you gotta go to work? I'm like, I can only work Friday. I'm leaving Saturday morning. I showed them the bus, the Greyhound schedule and everything. Like,
yeah, you went all out for this.
Like, when you asked that question, I'm like, ooh, good one. So I used that. They immediately took me off the schedule. And I told all my sergeants, I'm like, man, I'm gonna go work one day. However, that one day of the March Madness I worked, saw Maya Moore, WNBA legend, and that UConn and Iowa game was crazy. It was so crazy. And so, like, you know, and then I saw MGK, of course. He's always there. I saw him at Drake and J. Cole concert, too, in February. So that was cool. But, yeah, so I would say it kind of helped me become a good liar because I got to use it that one time. I haven't used it since because I hope not to, but yeah. Yes.
You have to – oh, shoot. What's the phrase I'm thinking of? Oh.
Did he use Meisner for that?
I use Meisner and the tongue take.
Greyhound bus. Great. Opening hey, the one, case.
I think showing the schedules showed it. I'm like, yeah, I got to go. I come back this night on Sunday. Mm-hmm. It's up. But at least I can watch WrestleMania with my cousins. And they was like, yep, it is WrestleMania weekend. But they didn't pick up on it. If they did, I didn't get in trouble. I'm not fired, so.
I want to say, with great power comes great responsibility.
Hey, you know, man, I'll take it.
Meisner said that.
Kyle, has acting made you a better liar?
No, but it's helped me get a little bit better at improv and allowed me to be, I guess, myself more.
There you go.
No, lying isn't really something I do anymore. I used to have a little bit of a problem with that, but I've been more open and honest with myself and just felt a lot more freed, especially being able on the agenda, being able to express myself there and express my creativity. It just allowed me to be myself more and be more creative and I guess worry less about how others think of me. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of the time, like I was very like, kind of anti-socialish, I guess. Very a lot of social anxiety, I guess is the way you could put it. But now I don't really feel that as much anymore.
Mm.
And it's just, yeah, me being me.
That's awesome.
I'm not worried about really what anyone else thinks.
Mm-hmm. That's sick.
That's what's up. That's what's up, bro.
I don't like lying, man.
Jackson, have you done any improv before?
Not improv like in a sketch setup or anything, but just ad-libs.
Okay.
Yeah, I've done like ad libs, but like sketch, like I mean, improv, like how Kyle may have introduced to it. Not yet.
Would you like to?
I would love to because I want to tap and see to my potential, see what I can do. Hell, I told on a Sip and Chill, I'm like, I would love to do an Adam Sandler movie because I'm pretty sure my comedic timing would be like perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah. Adam Sandler, that's another guy who's kind of broken out of typecasting in a way.
Yes, yeah.
With Uncut Gems.
Spaceman.
Man, that one movie he did with the late Philip Seymour Hoffman, where he found love or
Punch
something.
Punch Drunk Love?
I think that's the one. There's that one, and there's one he did where he's like a suicidal dude because he lost his woman.
Rain Over Me.
Yes.
Haven't seen that one yet,
bro,
but I
oh
really
my
want to.
God, his performance in that is so good. Before Uncut Gems, I think that's his best performance because you can see a different side of Adam Sandler.
Huh.
Yeah, that's with Don Cheadle, and it's about the events after 9/11.
Yes, yes. I remember one scene in particular. I don't want to spoil it, but you got to watch the movie. It was so good. It was moving, bro. I almost jerked a tear watching that because like you see Sandler be funny.
Mm-hmm.
You see him do an action film like The Last Boy Scout with Damon Wayans, right? But you never saw him act like this. And you want to talk about like a chameleon in a way. It's like Steve Carell in Foxcatcher. Yeah, like that's how good it was. I'm like, wow, like Sandler is talented.
Yeah, they can really show their range.
Oh yeah, I love that. I love that with actors who get typecast in comedic roles and stuff. Seth Rogen,
yeah,
in Steve Jobs movie. He had that one scene with Michael Fassbender when they were arguing about.
Oh yeah, he plays.
They mentioned the Beatles and all that stuff.
Wozniak.
I was impressed with Seth Rogen. I'm like, look at him. And now he's voice acting in Invincible.
Oh, and he's producing a bunch of stuff too.
He's killing it. I like what he did with Ninja Turtles, by the way. I like what he did with that.
Ninja Turtles, Invincible, The Boys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of great talent out there right now.
Yeah. If you could be on Invincible, have you seen Invincible?
I love Invincible, man. I love it. I would love to voice act anything. Hell, I commented on their posts on Instagram saying, like, I love the audition, just saying. Hey, I'm in no demand about money, all right? Because I'm non-union, and I don't have an agent no more. So it's like, hey, man, look, I'll take what I can get.
Yeah.
I just want to audition at least. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Let me earn my chance.
Yeah.
That's my approach.
For backstage, when you were on backstage, I'm curious, what did you under special skills, because you listed improv. Are you pulling up, Anthony? I don't know if there's...
Yeah, pull up my resume again. I can definitely put it.
You have...
Because I retyped it.
So you have, as your skills, you have basketball, taekwondo, and archery.
Yes.
Oh, not improv, my bad.
Because of the fact that I've done this physically before,
yeah.
I grew up playing ball. Mm. And Kyle and I shared some taekwondo experiences. Of course, he's more experienced than me. I had to quit playing basketball because that was my first love. Mm. Archery, I took at Cleveland State one semester. But I am a Sagittarius, so I kind of like want to tap into that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I never shot a real gun before. But archery, man, I love it. I love archery. So it's like it can help. And just like Kyle and I was talking about, I would love to learn some martial arts because, one, I would love to have a martial arts role where I get to have some fight scenes. Ooh. And stuff. That would be cool. Hell, my favorite martial artist, Scott Atkins. I would love to have a fight scene with him. I don't care if I get killed or get my ass kicked. I would like to just have that experience, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And Michael B. Jordan, I'd love to have a boxing role in the Creed movie. Let me be in the background punching the bag or doing the speed bag, whatever. Or be like, I'll spar with you, you know? And I don't care if I get my ass kicked. Like, let me get my moment to shine.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not asking for much. No, I would love to tap into like other stuff that will help craft my versatility as an actor, you know, like Wesley Snipes type stuff.
Yeah. Have you done what's the most extreme stunt you've done for?
Again, back at Cuervo, where I got shoved into the lockers in one scene.
The locker.
And a couple of different scenes where we filmed. There's a blooper actually on Instagram. You gotta go to my tag post from January, where I get to the director Brandon Grimes playing the lead character. I get to like, you know, bully him and stuff. So like, there was one where he actually wanted to really punch him for real. I'm like, dude, no, I can't do that. Like, I get you're tough, but I don't know how truly strong I am in that regard. I don't want to hurt you. So I made it look real, and he added the sound effect, and people was like, hey, that looked good. So I would say that's probably the most extreme, but getting shoved to the locker is probably the biggest one because I did feel it, but it wasn't as sore as I thought it was going to be because I didn't hit the lock part. Mm-hmm. I hit like the vent part of the locker.
Yeah.
That's what we aim for.
Mm-hmm.
And like, we just did it correctly. And I would say that's probably the most physical toll I've done, but it was fun to do.
Hell yeah.
What about you, Kyle?
Have I done any stunts? Yes, for the agenda. I got smacked in the face 3 times by...
The way you my said that, friend, it sounded like it hurt.
Olivia Van Sickle. Yeah, it could have been a one-take thing, but the first two ended up not in frame.
Oh, my God.
Thank you, Nick, for that.
Yeah, I filmed that.
Oh, damn.
It was so much fun, though, because I told Olivia, smack me as hard as you can. Because I was like,
she did.
Yeah, she did.
She did.
Like, my bad, I'm going to cut you up. Like, Stephanie McMahon attitude era type or like just a hard slap, period?
I know the people watch or listening can't see it, but boom.
Ooh.
Three times my face.
The whole wind up
was red. Let me go into the backstory of the character. Joe Finch, divorce attorney and used car salesman. He's super sketchy. And
he sounds like it.
this whole bit was exposing how sketchy he actually is. It was it was part three of Joe Finch because the first two were just commercials. Kind of the second one was inspired off of the Better Call Saul commercials.
Yeah.
Nice.
It's like, I better call Saul.
Okay.
And the third one is him in disguise on the street. He's still wearing his regular costume, which is the black jeans with the gray dress shirt, the black tie, and the black vest.
Yeah.
But I just put on a fake mustache.
Yeah, because you're asking people about Joe Finch.
And I'm asking people about Joe Finch, and I'm trying to get people to say good things about him, because they do, like, Burger King and cell phone companies and all that, they do the actual people, not actors, things when they go on the street. So I was trying to do a parody of that, and it's just, oh, you get to see how bad and corrupt this dude really is. And it ends with Olivia slapping me because I screwed her character over. And
if you watch that take from the start, your face is like red.
Yes.
Like in the actual clip.
Because it was also cold out.
Yeah. It was cold. Yeah. Yes.
It was like end of October or middle of October that we were filming this.
But I mean, you committed to the bit and
beginning of October.
Committed to the bit and got hit.
Right. Yeah. So
thank you.
We are getting close to the end of our time here today, and I would like to ask one more question to kind of like wrap everything up. And it's a question we've asked on every single episode of the podcast, but it's a good one, if you will. What's the best food you've had on set?
Best food I've had on set. So I worked on my friend set, Braylon, for Rotten Lovers. The catering that they did for days 2 and 3 was so good. And we actually, the catering they did for day two is her stepdad has a restaurant, Casa del Rio, out in Fairlawn. Mm-hmm. And it's Mexican food. Mm-hmm. And they end up getting it for that set, and it was really good. And I actually had it for the third day of my set.
Nice.
And
it was nice.
Yes.
It was good food.
It was very good.
Because honestly, if I had to answer my
own... Oh, yeah, that's what it was. Yes, yeah. Yes. That was
really
good.
If I had to answer my own question, I would have actually said that.
Oh, that was so... I want to go back there and actually eat at the restaurant. But yeah, that was good. And then on day three, I think they went to Antonio's and just got like pasta and salads catered. But even that was good, because it was just like, it was just a nice hot meal that we were getting. On set.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That does sound good. The best food I had on the set of Man Makes Title was good food, you know. And shout out to your pops for bringing Penn Station, because that touched my heart, because I'm from Cincinnati, and that's where Penn Station started. So I always love getting a taste of my hometown. But the best food I had on set, Shooting Stars, you know.
Oh,
Universal Pictures.
Yeah.
You know, and I get upgraded to be a stand-in from an extra. So you know damn well that craft services was hitting. Oh, it was hitting, man. You know, they had some really good food. A whole spread, seafood. They had some soul food, but it wasn't typical greasy, fat soul food. It was like well-made, like healthy type.
Okay.
But you can eat it in bulk. It was so good. It was so good, man.
That's so cool.
I'd love to cater Skyline
nice.
For a set. But because I'm also from Cincinnati.
Yes, sir.
But I don't know. Some people don't like Skyline.
I think it's kind of overrated. Skyline's
it
not
is.
Bad.
It's a little overrated.
If you like the chili, yeah. Now, if people want chili dogs or conies, what we call it,
I say Gold Star.
But Pleasant Ridge chili, if it's still open, that was years ago when I went there. That was the best of the both worlds. But
I love
a local small spot.
All right, so do you guys want to go ahead and plug anything before we finish up? You know, like your social media or anything that's coming out that you worked on, you know, whatever. This is your time.
If you want to follow me on Instagram, my Instagram is Kyle Nanadovich Film. I will go ahead and spell it out for you because my last name is impossible to figure out how to spell. KYLENANADOVICHFILM. No underscores, no periods, nothing, just all one word.
No numbers. I'm Jackson Bivens. You can find me on Instagram at SamuraiWolf513. It's kind of like my cosplay name a little bit. But my action name is spelled J-A-C-K-S-O-N. And last name is spelled B-I-V-E-N-S. Not two I's like Michael Bivens. I get that all the time. You can find me on there. Just like my bio line says, actor, cosplayer, just a kid from Cincy, shares a birthday with PlayStation. Check all my links on there. You can see pretty much all my work. Well, feel free to give a browse.
Sweet.
And you, the listener, can follow us on Instagram at Act Natural Pod because we here at Act Natural do not support the caste system that exists in India.
No, we do not.
No, we do not.
So there's no caste in our name.
Anyways.
Nice.
Thank you guys very much for coming on.
Yeah, thank you for coming on. Thank you, the listener, for listening, if you will. We'll catch you next time. Hear you later.
Bye-bye.
Bye.